Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Hey, Power Movers, how are we doing? I'm here with Chris Rice, and she's a lady after my own heart. She does some of the crazy things I do, i.e. jumping into cold water. And more than that, she's an entrepreneur, and she has a story to tell us. So welcome, Chris. Great for you to join us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So tell me a little. We've spoken about this in a bit more detail, but tell me a little bit about your journey. How do you get to be dunking into ice baths?
Sure. I did it very resistantly, so as most of us do. So I guess the short of my background on it is I have two daughters. They're a teen and a tween now. And the older one, when she was young, had a lot of mental health struggles. And so as I walked beside her and found ways to support her mental well-being, it was a chance for me to have that mirrored back to me, to see my own struggles and to see where I held a lot of anxiety, didn't know how to process stress out of my body, all of these things that were just building and building and building. And so I went on a journey to really support her and figure out things that worked for myself too. And like we talked about, I love meditation. I'm a huge fan of Joe Dispenza, all of these things. I found lots of practices I loved. And the reality was, it was like a full-time job. So it was completely unattainable. I'd say probably 3 years ago or so, I had built this beautiful toolbox of all these things I could do. But the reality was, I couldn't fit into my normal life. It was just very defeating. So it was from that place that a friend of mine said, "But have you tried cold plunging?" And I was like, "No, like I have zero interest in what you're telling me. No, thank you." And so I denied it a couple of times. And best I can remember it, I must have just felt like I had nothing to lose one day. And she asked me again, and I was like, fine, I'm going to do it. So I bought a horse trough off of like the hardware website and bought that. Didn't tell anyone, my husband included, because I was like, here's the thing. If I hate it or I really can't do it, like I don't want that to be added on to me too. So I'm just not going to tell anyone. So I go, I pick up the trough, I bring it in our backyard, I fill it with hose water, like this is DIY at its best. And I just gave it a try. I was like, what do I have to lose? So I hopped in. And even though, as you can imagine, that water wasn't crazy, it wasn't super cold, it was enough. And my goal was to sit in for one song. I sat in for two. I got out and I had a smile on my face and I felt better than I had in as long as I could remember. And so it was from there that I just kept going back to my little trough and I would lay in there and think, how could I make this better? How could I make more women want to get in cold water? How can I bring this feeling to more people? And so that was where the Chill Pod was born, in that humble little trough.
Amazing. Let's go back a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. Tell us about your journey, what you were doing, and then the entrepreneurial leap, right? I love this.
Yeah, definitely. I came from marketing and events, so nothing really related to what I'm doing now. But once I started, there was something alongside my daughter that really sparked this curiosity in wellness and what could that look like. I'm using that as like the broadest term possible, but it just opened my eyes to things that I didn't know existed. So while I was in a corporate job, I really, in looking back, I had such a like voracious sense of curiosity of what was out there to help you feel better, that you didn't have to take a pill for, that you didn't have, that you had access to in any moment. Like, even I'm looking out over here and like the leaves are changing. It made me go outside more. It made me, you know, discover how much I love walking in forests. I did all of these things that I was like, oh my gosh, at the end of the day, there's science behind this. Like, there are reasons why these things make us feel better. So I really set out to learn on my own, just what could a healthy lifestyle look like? What could, you know, good mental health look like? And so, a lot, I would do my day job. I actually worked remotely the whole time. So well before COVID and all of that became normal, I worked from home. So I had a lot of flexibility that way. And I used my extra time to really lean into those things. I read Joe Dispenza's work. I read as much as I could about energy and all of the different things that I was just curious about. So alongside that, I do joke that I think I just have like entrepreneurialism in my blood. I think it comes from my mom's side and it was always there. So I got an itch where I was like, okay, I'm learning these things and I want to share them with others. So I just started taking tiny steps. I did a health coaching program so that I would be able to, you know, kind of launch a little business, but still be able to do my day job, things like that. And those just kept building. I actually tried to start a mindfulness program for kids so that I could bring the practices we had learned to others or to the masses. And all of those things just didn't work for the right reason. And once I got to the point that I thought up, didn't have a name at the time, but thought up Chill Pod, it was hard to let go of the other things because it's a big leap and it was very different than anything else I'd done. Those things were me. Those were my time and energy putting into them. It's not launching a physical product. That's very different. So it took a big leap of faith in myself and what I could build and what I knew I was made to do, to really let go of my corporate job, take the leap and go all in on Chill Pod. And that's been 2 years now.
Let me ask you another question.
Mm-hmm.
How much did your ability to get over yourself by getting into the ice bath contribute to your ability to step out of the corporate world?
That's a great question. I think it was a huge factor. I think it was a huge factor in it because for a couple of reasons, like I unknowingly, I would really set intentions and get in that water. And I believe that there is something to, I mean, this is going to sound woo, but I feel like you're going to be into it. So I'm going to say it anyways. And that is, I was talking to somebody about it the other day, and that like water is a conductor. And so like, if we go into that water with this very clear high vibration intention, that ripples out at a very fast rate. And so I really think that that practice started to create this like path that I started to go on. And at the end of the day, doing that difficult thing, for me, I always do it first thing in the morning. If you get up and you do that, you are literally changing the way you show up for other opportunities, other situations throughout your entire life. And so I think that was a huge piece of it. I showed myself that I could do these big, uncomfortable things, and therefore it translated to, okay, here's your opportunity, go after it.
For sure. I do a lot of work with cold exposure, as we spoke about. And you know, one of the areas I love working in is actually ladies that are going into menopause.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. You know, they come in, and so much of what you said there just resonated with us. They come in and they're not what they were. They're not understanding themselves. They don't know, you know, they lose confidence. The big confidence is a big thing here. And then they come in and they get into this, and they just gain something back again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apart from all the science reasons why it works and all the rest of it. Yeah. There's this real piece of, I can do something difficult.
Yep.
Yeah. I was able to do it. I got in there. The first 30 seconds or 45 seconds were hell. Yeah. And then I got to the next stage where I actually realized I could do it. And then suddenly the dopamine hit and I got a smile on my face. And I was, what's happening to me? Yeah.
Yep.
And I do. I've done a lot of work with as a menopausal woman, and then now with business owners, and it's like, okay, yeah, this is the stuff that's difficult. This is having that difficult conversation with John, or understanding that there's a massive problem out there in the market and you need to fix it. And okay, step and go. I always tell my people, step and go. Yeah, if you can do that, if you can actually just take that first step in what you're doing, then you have a much better chance than if you can't.
I completely agree. No, it really it took a while to see those parallels of, okay, I do this and this is how I show up different, but there's really no denying it when you look back at it. And that would be true of anything, but I do think that that is a particular practice that few people are like, ooh, let me try that. I would love to try cold plunging. Like that's just, there's nobody that I ever talk to who they'll be like,
Not
oh, I thought about it, but I
heard. Yeah,
haven't done it.
I've
Or
never met someone that's let's go do
literally never.
it.
No, not unless they've done it already and they're like, oh, okay, let me try it. Then somebody will. So
I've probably done 2,000 ice baths in the last 4 years, right? And I
yeah.
still don't want to get in.
100%. Every day, I don't want to get in. Like, that doesn't change. And I think the more we normalize that, the more that that helps people too. Like, at the end of the day, I just want to be a different voice for somebody to maybe hear what will like resound with them, because we all see like these super athletes doing it. And you have a picture of what it could be, but like, what if it's just you or I? That is more powerful, I think, for people to see and hear and be like, okay, I relate to that. I also don't want to get in. But interesting that they have done it 2,000 times. Maybe there's something there.
Yeah, for sure. Let's keep on the similar subject, but now we talk about entrepreneurship, right? And the my morning routine, like you say, it's breath work, then it's meditation, then it's PT, then it's sauna, and then it's skull exposure, and it takes me an hour and a half. Yeah, and to do that, I get up at 4:30, right? And the thing that I'm really trying to get people to understand is that the amount of energy that gives me and the clarity that gives me in the day translates directly into profit.
Sure. Yeah, I
You
believe
know,
that.
because people don't see that. I don't think entrepreneurs are 70% of entrepreneurs are close to burnout. Right? I've been there, right? I've been there with the 14-hour days and the further up that road you get, the more energy you spend on tomorrow and yesterday, the less you have to work on today. So you don't get as much done, and you're not as clear, and your staff are they pick up on your energy.
Oh, totally.
They really pick up on your energy, and yeah. So yeah, that I think there's a big piece of learning that entrepreneurs need to get. Wellness is so important for the whole piece.
I totally agree. I had a shift even this last year. I mean, I've been meditating for a very long time, but it comes and goes as to what like resonates with me. Am I sitting in silence? Am I doing like a short little Gabby Bernstein one? Am I doing a long Joe Dispenza one? Like, it goes all over the place and I go in seasons. But I was having a hard time going back to my longer ones, because in the morning I don't have a ton. I like to sleep till about 6, and then I have about 45 minutes before my kids get up. And so I was like, gosh, I just don't know if I can like really make a 20 or 30 minute meditation happen. I was like, kept like coming up with all the reasons not to do it. And then I had this switch where I was like, actually, that's your morning leadership training. You turn up totally different if you meditate that day or if you don't. So that was like the shift that worked for me, was to think about it in terms of just like you're saying, like, how does this actually set me up for success in the day versus how much time this takes in this moment? So, that for me, if I have to boil it down, it's cold plunging and meditation. Those are the two things.
And I go a bit longer, but I've sacrificed my evening staying up until 11 o'clock. I go to bed at 9:30.
Yeah, for sure.
I used to only sleep an hour and a half a day. Right? That
Oh
was
my
like
gosh.
for like 15 years. I slept an hour and a half a day.
Wow.
And I thought that was better. I was doing more stuff,
Sure.
and it was so much worse, right?
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm 9:30. I go to sleep. I actually sleep until 4:30, so I get good quality sleep. And that's something I work on quite a lot. How do I make sure my sleep is better? And then AI came along. Love AI. In 6 months, I've done 6 years worth of work. And it's not what people think. The clarity it brings me, and the communication skills it brings me, the automation which takes away, functions that I don't need to do. It's going to change the entire world as we know it, right? And people are kind of playing the ostrich, they're burying their head in the sand at the moment and say, yeah. So I get the AI done, I get the wellness done, and suddenly then I can grow and scale the business.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So yeah. So you are at the beginning point of your exciting, well, I would say the beginning point, but the point where you start seeing results. Tell us.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when I look back, so it's been about a year. It took about a year to refine the idea. Like, what was this going to look and feel like? So I had all these ideas in my head, and it took a little time to align with a product designer, which I didn't realize even existed, full transparency. So they were able to take my idea and put it into shape and form to have it actually become something. And then it's taken about the last year for the prototyping and all of the testing and all of that to really play out. So I've been watching this like tiny step by tiny step. And to your point, actually, in 3 days, the first four pods should be flying over to come back. And we have big stuff lined up. So I'm really excited. We've got some wellness events that we're focusing on in November. And then, I think it's one of those things where people need to touch it and see it and experience it to really realize the difference.
You're in Portland, if I remember.
I am,
I will be down the road in November.
No way. Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in Olympia.
Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will.
Maybe
Well, if you
I'm.
want to come see a pod in real life, you can come see it.
Maybe we do a Wim Hof workshop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah, totally.
we'll talk about it. So, how do you see the next? I mean, you've been in marketing, and that's such a crucial skill to have. There's a few things that people need to understand, and that one of the things I coach is a business operating system. I don't know if you've come across it. And marketing, you have to have the marketing, you have to have the sales. Otherwise, the operations, there's no point in really looking at it. What's your marketing play, as you ask for this?
Yeah, we're really focusing on B2B. So I think that's a big
Nice.
miss in the cold plunge market. So much of it has been direct to consumer, which is great, but what we built was really intentional for hospitality settings, for fitness and wellness facilities, places where they know they need to have this offering. Every single time I go in a place like Soho House or that type of environment, the first thing they say is it is the number one ask of their members. The number one ask is to have cold plunging. And so we really intentionally built the product to be able to fit their needs. So it's mobile, they can move it from one place to another. So like you think in a Four Seasons, they can go and bring that into your suite if you want it there, or it
Wow.
can also be in the spa. So things like that. So all of those little pieces are a big part of our marketing, but yeah, we're primarily focusing on B2B. And I think once people are able to see it and experience it for themselves, then the hope is that they'll want to bring them in their homes too. So yeah, that's kind of
Amazing.
the exciting times.
Well, we're going to have to get together in 6 months' time and see exactly how it's going. It's going to be
Yeah,
interesting story.
exactly.
Yeah. And then let's just touch up on for the final subject on where you are with AI. What's happening with it? Are you digging into it? Is it helping you?
Yeah, I would say I was a little resistant or hesitant at first. And then I probably in the last 8 months or so have really leaned to it. And honestly, it's been so helpful to me. Like, just in, I think, the amount. I mean, the time save is huge, and I lean to it for like rudimentary daily tasks, things like, crafting emails to be like, I've used it enough now. It can craft one very nicely in my wording. I will always go back and refine it and make sure that it sounds exactly like me. But just that, to not have to type all of that up every time, is huge. And we're actually seeking investors to be able to use that as almost like a teammate to be like, okay, help me come up with our Tam Sam song. Like, how are we going to do that? All of those things. Even to like researching, figuring out, hey, we're curious about manufacturing in X location. How, who could we reach out to there? It's just, it, I don't use Google anymore. I use AI instead. And there's certainly shortfalls. There's things I've gone to ask it to do that I'm like, it's not quite there yet, but that's fine. And I can see that. And I use my own brain to, vet and do those things.
Yeah, I think there's a few things there that you mentioned there that I'll touch on. Firstly, you need to retain your thought leadership.
100%.
Yeah,
Yes.
and that's a big thing. The second thing that I found quite interesting, and I've been doing this for almost 3 years now, is that when you say it's not quite there, are you finding that your communication is actually getting better? Yeah, and not just your communication with ChatGPT or with Claude or whoever it is, but your communication with other people. Because, what I've come to understand is that I didn't actually communicate as well as I thought I
Yeah,
would.
interesting. Yeah, probably for me, I feel like maybe more concisely because sometimes I can think in words and that can get more drawn out where I want to be really direct and concise in what I'm feeding it. And so I think that clarity and directness is better now than it was if I think back on it.
Yeah, and I'm finding that I communicate better with my staff, with my partner,
Sure, that makes sense.
because it's, if I'm putting rubbish in and I'm getting, well, if I'm getting rubbish out, I'm
Yep.
probably putting rubbish in, and I spent probably a year trying to work out why that was,
Yeah.
and then really, how do I make it more clear? How do I, because AI generally is a yes man, right? It'll tell you
Yes.
what you want to hear. Right? I've got this great idea. I'm in the Amazon. And based
Exactly.
on the street corner, and I want you to help me with your business plan, and it'll give you the most
Yep.
amazing business plan. And then you say to it, "Right, I want you to be my critical thinking partner now. I want
Yeah.
you to help me understand where I'm being ambiguous. What opportunities am I missing? Really go and dig into the market and see if there is a market there. And
Yeah,
suddenly
for
you get an
sure.
entirely different answer, right?
Totally.
So that's the one thing that I found. The other thing I found is that I can use it as a thinking partner. Yeah,
Yes.
so yeah, I can brainstorm stuff if I set it up correctly.
I use that a lot, and that's actually, if I boil it down, that's probably what I appreciate the most. I used to work with a human design coach, and so I know that for myself, from her work revealing this to me through my human design, but also knowing now from experience, I need to respond to things. So I do best if I don't entirely generate it for myself. I have my idea, but I need that something to go back and forth with. And that's not always super efficient to do with another human, right? So that for me is huge because when I see it, then I'm like, oh no, not that, this, not this, that. Like we can go back and forth in that. And that ability to have that responding piece for me is huge.
Peg you as a manifesting generator.
I am a generator, yes.
There we go.
Good job.
Yeah. So then the other thing that I really didn't realize is that everyone talks about journaling, right? Journal, 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 journal. And I've never been able to do it, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me. And now I use AI as a journaler.
Oh,
And
really?
yeah, so I get up in the morning and I'm like, okay, ChatGPT, or I'm using Claude now, I find Claude better. Yeah, Claude, I want you to help me. I've got a lot of stuff in my mind. I'm going to give you a stream of consciousness and I want you to help me arrange it.
Interesting.
So I go in, I'm like, okay, so I've got to do this and this and this and this. And I thought about this and I had this idea and I did this thing. And I such and such said this and I need to go remember to go back to that. And then I'm like, okay, now my goals for the next 2 days or the next day or the next week are to get this, this, and this project to the top.
Cool.
Now I want you to help me order which things I've just given you into a decent order so I reach those goals. And what that does for me is it allows me to empty my brain.
It's just like a brain dump of everything, but there can be something done with it.
Yes, and I've got a document at the end of it, and I take that document, and I've actually got an automation. That automation goes into my task list.
Cool. Nice. That's awesome.
So there's an evolution of how we need to think about AI, I think. It's not just, it's not a big scary thing that's going to take my job away. It's a tool that, if we want to understand how to use it, can change so many different areas of our lives. And it's about starting to use it day to day. It's about, I mean, I go on holiday, and I'm there, I'm like, okay, I am now in France. I'm here for 3 days. These are the things that I like. I want to make sure I get to one or two Michelin-starred restaurants. I have this amount of time. I want to go and see this thing and this thing and this thing. Build me out a route. And it'll go and it'll do that if I set it up correctly. And I bring that up because so many people are not using it because they're scared of it. But if they can use it for their own individual benefit and get used to using it, suddenly the opportunities open up. It's like, ah, what if I did this? And what if I... I go to my fridge. I take a picture of the stuff in my fridge. I'm like, okay, I want you to help me build a Michelin-starred meal out of this. I want the step by steps, and I want you to walk me through it. And then I put it into voice, right? And I get in the kitchen and I start cooking. Okay, so what do I do next? Okay, do this. But hang on, hang on. What do you mean by that? Okay, yeah. And then, I end up with a really awesome meal.
That's amazing.
So using it for day-to-day stuff like this is where it's going to come into its own. And so much I spend hundreds of hours on AI. I've probably spent thousands of hours on AI. I still get behind. So those people that are coming into it now fresh, the overwhelm is real, right?
It is. And I think a lot of times people are so, they come from a place of like fear and feeling threatened by it. And I feel like once you take that leap to do it too, then you realize like you are an integral part of it. It doesn't like feed you anything unless you are active and a participant in it. So I think that kind of just takes away some of that worry or fear about it, is just like you're in it too. Like you don't get anything out of it unless you're there and supporting it.
Yeah, for sure. And then I'm just going to finish on one last thing. We're going to talk about business operating systems and what you know about them. Have you come across them? EOS as an example, entrepreneurial operating system.
No, I have not. I have not used that. No.
So
No.
I'm going to tell you some stuff, and then you're going
Okay.
to ask ChatGPT about it, and
All
maybe that'll
right.
help you in your journey.
All right, perfect.
A business operating system is a system to operate your business. I know that sounds pretty banal. I used to run two IT companies, and I had the opportunity to buy a third one. But those two IT companies I was running, I was doing 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I just didn't see any way that I could possibly take a third one on board.
Sure.
I read a book called Traction by Gino Wickman. He does EOS. And I went and got myself a £100,000 coach. And now on those two IT companies and the third one, I spend 5 hours a week. And so a business operating system allows you to to understand how to work on the business. We get so stuck working in the business,
Totally.
that we get, and the one that I teach is called Boss Up. We have nine core competencies, and each of those core competencies, as business owners, especially in the journey where you are now, we start off and we wear all the hats, right? We have, this hat closet that's just full of hats, and we have a whole bunch of stuff that we like doing, and a whole bunch of stuff we don't like doing. And as humans, what do? We end up doing stuff that we like doing. And the business operating system really highlights, a way that you can do that. So go and have a look. Go and have a look.
I will. I You're reminding me. I read that book, but it was long ago. So, yeah, I should probably return to it.
No, do that. And I mean, Boss Up, if you have a look at Boss Up online,
Cool.
there's a wealth of information on that. And it just gives you kind of a structure to work on, and knowing meetings. Do you do many meetings?
Not many. No. I we minimize those as much as we can.
Why?
I mean, they're good. I like to make them as effective as possible. The last thing I want to do is meat to meat. So, I want to have that have a purpose and a real clear direction behind it versus just meeting to connect, which is different, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things that really, really blew my mind about this business operating system. I'd go into a meeting, like you're saying, meet to meet, right? And we'd all talk about it. I'd have 10 staff there, and the more staff you get, the more meetings you have, right? I'd have 10 staff there. I'm paying these people each, so every hour is costing me. They're not making money, and they're there meeting me. And 2 weeks later, I'd have the same meeting again. Yeah, so I was in this, yeah, and then along comes this meeting structure. So now we go in, we have at the leadership level, I'll have a 90-minute meeting, and I'm going through a set of almost like an agenda, I guess, but a very specific way of doing it, and that just pulls all the issues into one place, and then we just talk about those issues, right? And do, 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 do. And we sit there for 90 minutes. It's sacrosanct. Every person in the company has to be in the meeting once a week because that's the only way the whole company can get to communicate. And your technicians and other people might only do 45 minutes or half an hour, but they get to have a voice and they get to be heard. And so that's been really, really informative. So have a look at that and see where
I
take you.
will. I will. Thank you.
So looking back, what would be the piece of advice someone sitting there thinks they might be an entrepreneur and they want to kind of jump into it? What would you say to them?
Trust your intuition. Always trust your intuition. It is always guiding you, even though it doesn't feel like it makes sense or it just. You have like a nagging questioning or doubt about it, like lean into your intuition always. It does not steer you wrong.
Magic, magic, magic. Well, Chris, thanks very much for joining me, and I
Thank
will put
you.
your details on below, and maybe even get a cold plunge from you at some point in the future.
That would be amazing.
Yeah,
That would be
and
amazing.
we'll catch up again in a little while and see how you're getting on.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Magic. Thanks, Mel. Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power. Our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360. A system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.